Right now, though, we're joined on the line by Ian Hunter, lead baseball writer for Daily Hive TO. He's also a Blue Jays contributor for the Jays Nation. And Ian, as I mentioned it, it's been something we've been talking about for years now, about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and now that it's finally happening, it seems sort of surreal. Like, not that I'm, not excited. It's just sort of like, yeah, this is about time, and it's going to happen on Friday.
Right. I mean, it's like that movie that you hear about, or like a sequel that you hear for years that is going to be released, and then it finally does arrive, maybe kind of like, that Avengers Endgame movie that's coming out this week. And oddly enough, Vladdy is kind of like the Thanos of Blue Jays prospects. So it's, I think it was like the baseball's worst kept secret that he was going to be promoted this week. And there was a bit of a false start. Many believe that he might have made his debut on Tuesday, but this is kind of perfect timing. The Blue Jays have an off day tomorrow. I can kind of build some momentum, drive a lot of hype, and sell a lot of tickets for Friday's game.
So is Charlie Montoyo just going to treat him immediately like he's the best player? Like, is he just going to bat him third, playing third base like every day? Or how do you think he's going to treat him?
Right, yeah. I mean, typically managers tend to ease their top prospects into the lineup, so like a 7, 8, 9, bottom third of the lineup. But, if I'm Charlie Montoyo, I think you just plug Vlad right into the top of that order away.
I agree.
Like maybe you bat him second. I don't know if you bat him cleanup, but maybe, yeah, second or fifth in the order. That seems like an appropriate place to put him. You give it a little bit of protection for someone like Justin Smoke and Randall Grichuk. And, he's that guy who can draw a walk. That's always been his calling card, is that Vlad, in addition to his power, he's got incredible on-base skills. So that puts somebody on base for Justin Smoke and Randall Grichuk. And, I think you definitely put him up at the top. You don't treat him with kid gloves. You throw him into the fire right away.
So Sam and I were talking about this earlier when it comes to our expectations for Vlad. And this is the top prospect in all of baseball. And we saw a year ago, Ian, guys like Juan Soto, Ronald Acuna Jr. coming up to the big leagues and obviously having dominant seasons. And they've been able to carry that moving forward into year number two. And you look at Vlad and he was ranked higher than those guys and has put up even better numbers than those guys at the minor league level. It feels pretty safe to say, if you could ever say that about baseball prospects, because the fail rate is pretty high, but it feels like this guy is about as sure thing as sure thing gets. What do you expect from him? Are you sort of tempering your expectations, or do you think that he's going to come out here and dominate starting on Friday?
Right. I mean, most people forecasted that he would win the Rookie of the Year award this year, which is, that's a fairly safe assumption, but he has drawn already these like incredible comparables, like to someone like Miguel Cabrera. And, some people are saying he could be even potentially better than his father, who's a Hall of Famer. So I think most people are trying not to set their expectations too high, but the Blue Jays have never had a prospect like this in their system ever. I mean, I was trying to think back to, the last prospect the Blue Jays had that was this highly touted and this hyped. And I don't even think it's even close. Like I was thinking like Travis Snyder, Brett Laurie, that's not even comparable. You'd probably have to go back to maybe like Carlos Delgado, but even then it's just, this is something completely unique. He's the consensus number one prospect in all of baseball. And if he doesn't come to the major leagues and tear the cover off the ball, I think it might seem like a disappointment to some people.
It's going to be really exciting, obviously, to see him at the plate, but it really is going to be compelling to watch him in the field, and especially when they do the shift, because a lot of the times with the shift, the third baseman goes over to second base, correct? So I think it's really going to be really interesting to see him in the field.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was maybe the one thing that the Blue Jays were trying to work on with Vlad in Buffalo. It sounded like they wanted him to play off the line a little bit, which we saw Brandon Drury doing quite a bit when he was playing third base, so maybe that was the team just kind of getting him acclimated to that system. But Vlad's always had a tremendous arm, so he's not going to be exactly the fastest third baseman out there. But I think his arm strength is probably going to make up for it. And, if anything, I would say the one weakness in his game might be just base running and general footwork at third base. But other than that, he's like Baseball America said, they gave him an 80 tool, a hitting tool, which they've never done before. So at the very least, Vlad's going to hit. And if you get anything on defense, I think that's a bonus.
Yeah, and from some of the highlights that we have seen, Vlad does run like a wild man at times. There was a
flying around there a bit.
Yeah, there was a crazy head first slide in spring training earlier this year. We saw the highlight, I think, of him hitting a triple in the Dominican League over the winter and him sliding into third base. So, you know, he's a guy that's definitely max effort out there, even though he's not the fleetest of foot. But like you mentioned, it is all about the stick, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is one of the best hitters in all of minor league baseball, and hopefully over the next little while here of Major League Baseball. And we've been talking during the show as well, Ian, just about the hype surrounding it and sort of the building up of, you know, how people are going to view this coming up on Friday nights. And we're taking texts and people are saying, you know, 30,000. Some people are saying 40,000. Somebody said maybe even 50,000 people are going to be at Rogers Center. Like, what do you think is a reasonable number to expect from, you know, attendance? And especially now that there's a couple of days to build it up. Like, I initially said, you know, it's been a while now, but I thought it would be a sellout. And it works out perfectly because there's no Maple Leafs hockey, there's no Raptors, there's no Canadian teams left in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This would, you know, be the dream scenario here where, 45,000 plus are going to be at Rogers Center on Friday.
Right, yeah, I definitely think there's going to be a bump. I don't know if it's going to be a sellout, but on the other hand, all I've seen people say on Twitter is how they're just rushing out to get tickets for Friday's game, so I think ticket sales will be pretty brisk. I think it would be safe to say you could probably see a 5,000 ticket jump for this one game. I think it's unquestionably the hottest ticket in Toronto this week. And it's not every day where you see a team's top press prospect make their debut at home. You know, oftentimes the team kind of tempers expectations and brings them up on the road. But this is a unique situation where it's the consensus number one prospect in baseball. He's making his debut at home on a Friday night when there's no direct competition for eyeballs on a different sport. So there will be tons of people at the ballpark, and I think there'll be lots of people listening and lots of people watching for sure.
So I'm just looking at the standings here in the American League. And, I mean, the Jays obviously didn't get off to a good start, and the first couple of weeks were pretty dreary. We all know that. But does this – them being somewhat within shouting distance of, you know, wild cards or whatever, does this change their approach at all? Like, do you think that they're going to stay the course? Because they lost some guys from the starting rotation, obviously, with Shoemaker going down and Sanchez with the finger again. Like, do you think they go out and look at trying to get a pitcher to kind of pad this and maybe, like, make a little run at the second wild card? Is there any – does this let them dream a little bit?
They might be a little more optimistic now that they've got, you know, an extra thumper in their lineup, but as you mentioned, their starting pitching depth is pretty thin at the moment. Aaron Sanchez is going to make his next scheduled start, which was a little surprising after the report of the injury to his fingernail. But aside from that, you know, with Shoemaker down for the year and, you know, guys like Sean Reed Foley in the minor leagues and Jacob Wagispack, there's not really much depth there. And Gio Gonzalez just signed with the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, you've got Dallas Keuchel out there as a free agent. I don't think the Blue Jays want to sacrifice the draft picks to sign him. But, yeah, I think they just kind of stay the course at the moment. And if they can sustain this and stay around 500 close to the All-Star break, I think, you know, there's a small chance they may be a buyer, but we haven't really seen this organization fork over prospects for a win now mode. If anything, they've done the exact opposite. They've taken money off the books to clear the deck for their young prospects to pave the way to become a contender in the next few years. But having said that, you know, we've seen teams like the Philadelphia Phillies and the Atlanta Braves who were kind of ahead of schedule by a few years, and many people didn't forecast them to be quite successful last year. So potentially maybe the Blue Jays are that answer this year, but I don't see it. I probably next year or 2021 is more likely for their next window of contention.
Ian Hunter of the Daily Hive TO and also the Jays Nation joining us here on Sportsnet tonight. Rob Wong, Sam McKee with you on the Sportsnet Radio Network. So Justin Smoke went hitless today with a couple of strikeouts, but he's had a really strong season, Ian, and has been really good, especially of late. And that contract that he signed a couple of years ago, boy, oh boy, that has really worked out in Toronto's favor. And we look at the vets on this team and some of the pieces that, you know, could potentially be moved at the deadline if things do go awry with the Blue Jays when it comes to the standings. And he would seemingly be right at the top of the list now with, you know, Kevin Pillar gone and Kendrys Morales, of course, traded before this season. But, you know, is there a case to be made that maybe he is a guy that you would want to re-sign? I mean, at some point, like you said, in the next couple of years, if you're trying to compete, you're going to need some people that can hit. And Justin Smoke would seem to have at least a couple of years left in that bat. He can take a walk and get on base. Would you have any interest in that, or do you think right now is an opportunity to sell high that you know, maybe you're not guaranteed much from Justin Smoke moving forward over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, given his age, you know, he's only 32 years old, but given the state of MLB free agency, I think he's probably the type of player that you would either let go or try to just flip him at the trade deadline for as many prospects as you can possibly get. I think the Blue Jays probably also feel a little more comfortable about letting go of someone like Justin Smoke, potentially because of the play of Rowdy Tellez, who has, I mean, I feel like he's convinced me like he can hit at the big league level. So if you let go of Justin Smoke or trade him away, you plug Rowdy Tellez in there and he just picks up where Justin Smoke left off at a fraction of the cost and who's much younger. So by all accounts, you know, he's been a great veteran for the team. I think he's the third most tenured player on the roster at the moment. He's a nice target to throw to at first base. The pitchers love him. Great on base guy, lots of power, but you know, you wonder what kind of market Justin Smoke would get in free agency next year, and I'm afraid it's not really all that much. So even if the Blue Jays wanted to re-sign him on like a 1 or 2 year deal next offseason, I think that's something they could probably approach. But like I mentioned, I think the play of Rowdy Tellez and his emergence makes the organization feel like they could probably part with Justin Smoke and not feel too bad about it.